Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Come on, if you have your Bibles, come with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. Chapter number 1, starting at verse number 1, you can just stay where you are. Genesis chapter number 1. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And the word of the Lord reads, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Amen. And the text that we will be working with on this morning would be a night season. We're talking about a night season. And probably about 2 Wednesdays ago, Pastor Ivan was tackling this when he talked about reclaiming your day, reclaiming your morning, reclaiming your night, or as you're reclaiming your day. And for those of y'all that were standing, you can go ahead and be seated. He's talking about reclaiming your day and helping us to understand that sometimes we've made it customary that we would interpret or look at darkness and always will equate darkness with being evil. But what I found out about God, all throughout scripture, God tells us that he dwells in the thick cloud of darkness. Come on, any Bible scholars in the house? You know, God, you know, I prayed a prayer when I first got saved. I said, "God, now I've been saved before, God." I said, "It would only last about 2 weeks though, God." And I wasn't filled, baptized with the Holy Ghost at that time. Didn't have a clue what that was. And I just knew by the time 2 weeks would roll around, my interests and my passions and desires were leaning towards the things that I used to do. Those things that brought no honor, that brought no pleasure, no glory to God. I was headed back in that direction. But in 1998, in September, I messed around and got saved for real. I'm talking about, nobody had to tell me when I was rolling around on that floor. Nobody had to tell me when I finally got up that I was filled with the Holy Ghost. There was a change that took place on the inside. Now, I'm not telling you that some things I didn't have to get processed through. There were some things that I had to get processed through. But things like fornication, he took it just like that. Oh, I ain't gonna get no help right there. Because see, folk don't come to church looking for God anymore. Folk come to church nowadays looking for the hookup. I'm going to tell the truth, so I'm going to tell it for you. We come trying to find somebody in church who's easy. Talking about they made a New Year's resolution. Well, I'm going to be saved. I'm going to present my body as a living sacrifice to God. I'm changed now. But as soon as your flavor catch your eye and as soon as your flavor show a little bit of interest in you, God, where is God at now? God is no longer on the scene. But I'm talking about God met me before there was an altar call even given. I'm talking about in the middle of the message. Now look how crazy this is. I had already told myself, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to participate. Meaning participate, I'm going to pay attention. I may clap every now and then. Like, oh, that was a good song. You understand? I'm not going to get up and sing none of that stuff. I'm not going about to two-step in the church, but I'm going to sit up at attention and, you know, give my undivided attention to the speaker. Little did I know God had other plans for my life. Oh, yes, he did. I had already made up my mind that when the altar call is given, I'm going to just get prayer before I go back to Florida. You understand? I'm going to just get some prayer before I go back to Florida. I was on a break from school, and I said, well, I'm going to need some prayer because, you know, school is it's a little challenging right now. So my mind was made up that I'm going to go and get prayer. Before an altar call was ever given, y'all, I found myself just Sliding out the aisle like that right there, just. And this is the crazy thing, though. As I'm sliding out the aisle, I had the presence of mind, of the wherewithal, to talk to myself and say, "What are you doing?" You know, I'm trying to talk myself out of what's drawing me, what's pulling me. But the Bible tells us with loving kindness has he drawn us. And see, even though I was in a room or a church full of other people, it felt like I was the only one in the building that God was talking to. And like I said, I'm sliding out the aisle, and before you know it, I'm coming down the middle of the aisle with hands already up. You know, because when your hands are lifted up, it's a sign that I surrender. I really didn't know who I was surrendering to or why I was surrendering, but something in me just said, lift your hands up and come. I bid you come. I'm telling you to come. Something was pulling me at the same time while I was trying to fight, saying, what are you doing? You already told yourself the only thing you're going to do is go up and get prayer. When they call an altar call, this is not an altar call. What are you doing? Oh, but it's something about that name called Jesus. It's something about that reckless love that's willing to kick down walls and kick down doors to come and meet you right where you are. I'm talking about at your lowest point. He's willing to come right there. I don't care how deep you are in the pit. His hand is not too short that he can't reach down and save you. I don't care how far away you think you are. The Bible says that his ear is not too heavy that he cannot hear you. Long story short, y'all. By the time I even got up to the place where the altar was, the speaker met me with a hand in my belly, because they tell you your spirit is housed right here in your stomach, right? And before you know it, see, I'm not that one where you finna just lay hands on me, I'm finna fall just to make you look good. The devil is a lie. I'm not gonna look shame and look crazy rolling on the floor to make you look good. No. No. You know, at that time, I was still from Florida, so I had a rep to keep. Like, no, not about to make you look good. Me faking falling on the floor for you, the devil is a lie. But can I honestly tell y'all, as soon as he touched my stomach, it's like something hit me and I just, boom, hit the floor. And I was like, oh, what in the world was that? Now, I was fully conscious of everything that was taking place. All I can tell you, there was a fireball in the pit of my stomach. I had never heard the voice of God before. And God spoke to me and said, that fire that you feel in your stomach, that is I am a consuming fire. I am burning up everything that's not like me. Immediately after God spoke, the speaker got racked down in my ear and said, the fire that you feel in your stomach is the Lord God, and he's burning up everything that's not like him. So long story short, y'all, I got up and I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about where that 2-week marker came and I was still in church. That 2-week marker came and my mind still wanted to be on Jesus and not some girl. Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me for real. That 2-week marker came, and I wasn't running around trying to be no player no more. I was giving God praise. I don't know why we right here, but evidently God know why we right here, because I'm supposed to be talking about a night season. But he understood there's something about this God. And even as we get into the scripture, he has creative abilities, creative ways. I'm talking about God and his creative abilities has the ability to manipulate things behind the scene to work in your favor or to work in your good. You know how they say the devil meant it for evil, or the devil meant it for my bad, but God meant it for my good, because that was God behind the scenes manipulating some things in your favor. Not because you deserve it, but because he loves you. So he said, in the beginning denotes time, a significant period of time. God. Now, when you look at this God and you go into it, it's, we understand, because everybody doesn't believe in the Trinity. Right? But I'm going to prove to you right here in the first two verses of the scripture that the Trinity was present. Because the book of John tells us what? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Later down about verse number 14, it talks about how the Word became flesh. So we understand the Word that the Bible is speaking about is Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God created, right? This word created in the Hebrew talks about something that has been separate and distinct as it exists or in its existence. So we understand God has separated the earth. Now we understand within the universe, the earth is very separate from all of the other planets. Its location, its formation, its inhabitants, and all these different things, even how it spins and things of this nature, even with the number of moons that it has. So it's been separate, but yet it's distinct in its existence, right? So we see. Now, before I get ahead of myself, because like we said, we're talking about a night season. The word night is defined as, in the Hebrew, as a twist, right? A twist. And I don't know about you, there are many of us that are experiencing a night season when life seems to be dark right now. In other words, it seems difficult to find your way or difficult to see your way. But can I suggest to you that you're really in a good place? Because being in a night season, have y'all saw one of my favorite movies, all-time favorite movies, is Training Day. Oh, that's one of my favorite movies. It's one of my favorite movies. You understand what I'm saying? Training Day. Can I suggest to some of y'all that the night season is actually training you to walk by faith and not by... Because the Bible declares that we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. So many of us have interpreted the darkness to be something that's evil. We've ran from the darkness. Not understanding that God says, I dwell in the darkness, in the thick cloud of darkness. Now this God, he was messing with me in a good way. Because remember, I said, when I got saved, I prayed this prayer, God, you got to make this thing interesting for me. Because when I read the Bible before God, I got sleepy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of the words I didn't understand in this King James. It's pronounced Habakkuk. You know, so some of the words you don't understand, you try to skip over. Right? So I was like, God, you got to make this interesting for me. You got to keep my interest in the word, God. Now, I'm not saying that your word is not good. I'm just saying when I tried to read it before, God, it didn't capture my interest before. So I don't understand why I had the presence of mind to pray this prayer. Lord, I feel like I'm reliving when I was telling y'all my testimony, right? But I had the presence of mind to pray and ask God, God, make it become interesting for me. One of the things God did for me, and I was also praying, God, let the word come alive for me. In other words, unexpectedly, when I was just reading the Bible one day. So imagine me reading, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. When my eyes went to the word in, and as I spoke it out of my mouth, in, the word in came up off the pages of the Bible like this. And soon as I went on to the next word, in the, or in the, in went down and the popped up off the page. I said, whoa, because he tell us that his word is alive. See, to the person who don't understand, they'll think I'm crazy. But we serve a living God, a true and living God that has creative ways to answer your prayers, to keep my interest, to show me just how real this thing really is, to show me how real he was. Because a lot of us have tried to be a Christian through the lives of other individuals. Well, I'm here to tell you, you will not have good success trying to live through the life of another believer. He said, you got to work out your own salvation, your own. It has to become personal. You have to have your own personal relationship with him. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Right? So we see the word God, right? We see heaven and we see earth. As we scroll down to verse number 2, it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So simply put, verse number 1, you see God, which can be interpreted as God the Father, or it can be interpreted as, because we understand when we say God, we understand that all three, the Trinity, is housed inside of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But just for the sake of proving that all three are present, because I'm about to mess with some of y'all theology right now, right? God, let's just interpret this as being God the Father. But then you see in capitalized Spirit. So you see the Spirit of God present, right? the Holy Ghost is present. Right? Now, are y'all familiar with a familiar passage of scripture round about John chapter number 4 when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well? Right? He talked about, hey, give me to drink. Right? And she said, aren't you a Jew? What do the Jews have to do with us Samaritans? Right? So in this conversation, he said, well, if you would know who was asking you, you would be asking me for water. Because I can give you water that you would never thirst no more. Proving that he is the living water. Am I in the book? Jesus is declaring that he is the living water. He's also declared himself to be the bread of heaven. Right? I'm just trying to give you an illustrative. He's illustrating who he is. So we see, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Right? Now, I don't know if you got my text message, but I got my stuff right here. I'm watch this. In Psalms chapter number 42, verse number 7, right? It says, the deep calleth unto the deep. Now, there was a point in my life where I was developing this theory. I ain't gonna tell y'all what it was. But the voice of God spoke and said, stop. The deep has not called you to the deep. Now, it took me a while to understand because I was like, whoa. He said, curiosity is driving you. So I stopped like God said, right? Now, as I kept thinking about this time, some years went by. I said, whoa, God, the deep has a voice. Am I in the book? Deep calleth unto deep. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So not only does the deep have a voice, but the deep has a face. That's called personification, right? In English, right? Giving natural things human qualities, right? The deep not only has a voice, but the deep also has a face. Christ has told us he is the living water. Are you seeing the Trinity present? Yes. Take it a step further. Because before he could hover over the virgin, before the Spirit of God can hover over the virgin in the natural, he had to hover in the spirit. Water is also symbolic for spirit, right? Oh, are y'all following me? Are y'all following me? So before I hover over this virgin to cause this virgin to become impregnated with the Messiah, let me hover over the Messiah first as him being in spirit form. In other words, when we talk about Jesus as being deep, there are some deep places on the inside of Christ that we have yet to explore. Why? Because our mindset is so shallow. Our understanding is so shallow. So you know what? I've even had to refrain myself from saying we are scratching the surface of God. See, it used to be a cute saying to say that. We are scratching the surface of God. The reality, we're not even scratching the surface of who God is. Because if God is an infinite God, meaning there is no end to God, you can't box God in. You can't put boundaries around God. That's why they say he's too high, you can't go over. Too low, you can't go around. He's too wide, you can't go around. Or too low, you can't go under. He's telling you cannot box him in. You cannot put boundaries. You cannot put limits on him. See, us with our finite mind, there was a limit to our understanding. There was a limit to the knowledge that we're able to obtain. But with God, he's full of wisdom, full of knowledge. We cannot put a limit on God. Right? So when it's talking about, okay, and the earth was without form, because I'm getting ahead of my, but I wanted to show you that the Trinity is present right here in the beginning. Now, we're talking about a night season. Night meaning a twist. And I don't know about y'all, some of you may have had a twist in your life. One minute things were going good, and all of a sudden, there was a twist.
I'm talking about a sudden twist where you just can understand. You're trying to figure out what just happened. And when people ask you, what's wrong? And you're trying to, I'm trying to make sense of this myself. I really can't even wrap my own mind around what just took place in my life. That was a sudden twist. In other words, you have just entered into a night season. Right? Night doesn't only simply means twist, but it also means a fold back. Simply put, lay one part over another. Even when you think about in Hebraic culture, right? The day begins at night for them. When evening time, when the dusk is coming, that is their day starting over for them. Right? So in other words, for the Western mindset, God does things in the reverse. Where you want to start in the morning, oh, God said, no, I'm starting at the night. Now, if we understand God, see, this is something else God got me, I'm going to have to look at. There's something called, you notice how in scripture they talk about the different hours, the third hour, the ninth hour, the sixth hour, or the third watch, the fourth watch, all these different things. All right? I'm going to be looking at that. But what I do understand, God has already given me an understanding as it relates to there was a significant time frame. Because remember in the book of Isaiah, he says, okay, seek me early while I may be found and called upon me while I'm near. See, what God understands is a sacrifice for us to get up out of our sleep. And I'm talking about with fervent prayer, with a fervent, passionate seek to seek him. But if you ever understood between the hours of 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., God has allotted this time frame to actually manifest his spirit realm in the earth realm. Notice, remember, for example, remember when Jesus was walking on the water? Now, it was a common thing on the Sea of Galilee for the fishermen to see spirits moving across the water. And they interpreted Jesus as being a spirit. But what Jesus was trying to show them in a certain time frame, God is manifesting his spirit in the earth realm to perform special miracles here in the earth realm. What am I saying? If you can sacrifice your sleep and meet God at 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, you might just get that miracle that you've been looking for. Most of us, we're going to sleep. And so because of that, we miss the manifestations of God because you say, well, no, I'm going to pray at 7 o'clock. Well, you missed that time frame. All right? So I'm just dropping things as God gives me an unction to drop it. Not only does night, it talks about this layer. So what I was about to say was, look at the night. It is folded. You have evening, and then we have what we call night, and then we have what we call midnight. Which one of these sections of the night are you at? Because to be in the evening portion of the night, you can see fairly well. There is still a significant light on the outside. But as you press a little bit deeper into the day and get into the next fold of night and you move into the night portion, see, this is where most of us start dealing with fear. This is where things go bump in the night. This is where the enemy will try to bring terrors of night to us. But then we get excited about midnight. Because we understand, the Western mindset understand, this is morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy. You know how many times we quote that. Oh, if I could just hold on to morning. But let me ask you a question. Will your morning come if God decides to keep you in the night season? If he's because the Bible lets us know he created the days, right? When you start scrolling down through verses 3, 4, and 5, right? Like in fact, he said, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So he's the creator of the actual day. So he has the ability to hold you in your night season. Because see, you thought you were trained well enough. You thought you knew how to handle the day. Because you keep quoting the scripture, no man can work while it's night. I'm supposed to work during the day, but you working during the day. You're not doing a good job of working during the day. So maybe God has to hold you in your night season because you're not ready for the day yet. See, we're talking about a night season. Season is defined as it's an indefinite period of time. Simply put, there is no significant amount of time you have to be in your night season unless God ordains it. What am I saying? Your night season can last as long as God wants it to last. As long as God sees fit for you to be in your night season. And see, we always trying to compare our lives to the lives of that of other people. Well, it look like they experiencing joy, God, because see, they in their morning. See, in other words, when you see somebody experiencing joy and they're talking about the blessings of the Lord, oh, God bless me. I thank God for this blessing. It is indicating the fact that they're in their morning. That's why they're so joyful. But you, on the other hand, are in a night season. You must understand that these are two separate lives. This is my thing. Why are you complaining about your night season? Your night season is preparation for you to handle or know how to handle your day. See, we understand night is defined as twisted, but perversion is twist or wicked. The word wicked in the Hebrew is talking about being twisted. There is a twisting. So for many of us, we try to operate in the day with a twisted mindset, with a twisted understanding, a twisted ideology, a twisted knowledge. And therefore, we're not having good success like he told Joshua. We're not having good success throughout our day. Right? So somebody ought to bless him for being in a night season, because it's a good thing to be in your night season. It is a good thing. He said, and the earth was without form and void. Now, the earth in the Hebrew can be interpreted as the literal earth. But hearth in the Hebrew, because what am I saying? We know Hebrew and Greek, there was an extensive vocabulary in comparison to our English vocabulary. Just look at the word love. You can go to any Webster dictionary, and in our English, it's going to give you about one or two at best. But something like in the Greek, there are about seven different definitions for the word love. Right? So just to give you an understanding, earth can be interpreted or defined as the literal earth itself, or earth can also be defined as the inhabitants of the land, tribal community. In other words, when God created Adam, where did Adam come from? The dust of the ground or the earth, right? So is it safe to say, to help y'all understand, this flesh, this is just earth? So the earth, the literal earth, as well as you, was without form. Without form. Simply put, there was no need to even to define that. Without form, there was no formation to it. Present, but there was no formation to it. There was substance, but there was no formation to it. Think about it. There is substance to who you are, but there is no formation to it. See, that's why we always try to go on Facebook to be validated, go on Instagram to receive validation. We're looking for validation from this person and that person. And if your daddy was not present in your life, oh, I pray for you. I feel sorry for you. That's why there was some 25-year-olds, some 35-year-olds, some 49-year-olds, some 53-year-olds, some 65-year-olds still walking around because they don't have a clue who they are. Substance, but there is no formation. and the earth was without form, and it was void, right? It was empty. And see, anytime you find a person that's empty, they're looking to fill this empty space or this empty void. Do you know somebody and can you relate? I know you say you got Jesus. I know you say you're living for Jesus. But the truth of the matter is there were some places in our heart that we have yet to let God occupy. There were some places in our mind that we've allowed, have not allowed God to yet occupy in our soul. There were so many sins that are housed inside of our soul. God, there ain't no room for God to come and occupy your soul. So even though there are things that are taking place or occupying space in your mind, heart, soul, still empty. Because what needs to fill that is the presence of God. If we refuse to have the presence of God, we'll continue to seek. We'll continue to go looking for stuff. That's why you got people looking. It's not just a woman. That's why you got men and women looking for love in all of the wrong places. Wish I had some help. And the earth was without form and void and darkness, right? One of the definitions for darkness is talks about the obscurity, right? Meaning this is difficult to understand, right? This is when I said, because I made a point early, when I said God was messing with me in a good way. He was keeping this thing interesting to me. You know what God said to me? He said, Lincoln, how is it that with all of my glory shines brightly, but yet I'm able to dwell in thick darkness? How can darkness still abide if my glory shines? You know what, God? That is quite fascinating. How is that possible? This is him messing with me. This is him keeping me interested in the word. And I just sat and thought about that. How is that possible, God? With the light of your glory, yet darkness can still be around. For some of y'all, that don't even excite you like it excited me. It excited me. So I don't expect you to get happy like I got happy. I just kept thinking about that thing like, what an amazing God. Who can be light and dwell in darkness at the same time? What an amazing God. I mean, that is so unbelievable, right? So we talk about darkness, it's the obscurity, right? It's something very difficult to understand. That what I just said, light shines all around you, but yet you dwell in darkness at the same time. That is difficult to understand. So simply put, darkness itself is difficult for you to understand. But the world has made us to believe that darkness is evil, that darkness is no good. When in actuality, everything that begins with God, let me put it like this, everything that starts in darkness, that God started it. Simply put, everything starts in darkness. The creation itself started in darkness. Whenever you put a seed in the ground, that seed before it's produced or turned into whatever it's going to become, it started in darkness. Every last one of you that are on the sound of my voice, guess what? Before you came out your mother's womb, guess what? You were in darkness. So life itself started in darkness, hence the scripture. Then why are you so afraid of darkness? See, if we can get our thinking right about scripture, then we won't run from the darkness. We won't mishandle darkness. We won't mislabel darkness. Darkness is a good thing. You may not be able to understand it, but what I found out, there's some things you don't need to understand. Understand the fact that I've allowed darkness or allowed your night season to train you for your morning, train you for your day. So he said, in darkness, right, was upon the face of the deep, right? Before I go any further, darkness is also interpreted as the secret place. Who would have ever thought, having the mindset darkness is evil, that I would interpret darkness as being the secret place? I don't know if you got my text, but I know y'all are familiar with Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And if you know anything about the shadow produces a dark shade. Understand, God is trying to keep you in darkness. darkness. Because if I keep you in darkness, I'm keeping you in the secret place. This place that is so unfamiliar to everybody. Y'all ain't catching what I'm saying. Y'all really not catching what I'm saying. For those of us that are familiar with his presence, you understand the secret place. I don't know how to get there. I don't know where it's located at. That's what we just say. It's that place called there. I just know it's there because I know I experienced it. I can't tell you where it's at. I can't tell you how long it took me to get there. I can't even tell you exactly what it looked like. All I know is there because I experienced it. I experienced his presence on me. I experienced the glory of God resting on me as I abided in the secret place. It's not that the place itself is just a secret, but it's in this place that God whispers or reveals secret mysteries in his word or secret mysteries about his character and his nature. He that dwelleth in the secret place. So is it safe to say he that dwelleth in the darkness or in the dark place of the Most High, he is under the shadow or under the dark place of the Almighty God? But yet because of bad teaching and a bad understanding, you so busy trying to run away from darkness. Think about those hours, 2, 3, 4 o'clock or 3, 4, 5 o'clock. It's dark outside. You know what I found out? Everybody's not dwelling here. There were some people still looking. Claim they know him, but have not even dormed the secret place yet. They have not experienced the secret place yet. My thing, are you even under the shadow? Are you even under the shadow? Go back to my Genesis, right? He said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, right? And remember, we talked about deep is interpreted in the Hebrew as depths or deep places. Darkness was upon this. So the secret place is dwelling here on the face of the deep. Simply put, if you get into the secret place, like we were just expressing, you can come into the knowledge of the depths of Christ. Like, for example, he would help you understand the depthness of his love a little bit better than you do now. See, I must confess, I've never really preached on the love of God. Because the truth be told, I've never really had a good understanding of the love of God. I've been trying to understand it, like, how can you love somebody like me? You know, I must agree with Paul. God, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I must stay right in that vein and say, oh, wretched man that I am, God. How can you love somebody like me, God? That knows what the right thing is to do, but there are moments I refuse to do the right thing, God. I want to do what's right in accordance to my own eyesight, God. How can you love somebody like me, God, when my mind refuses to line up with your word and your will? How is it that you can love somebody like me, God, when my thoughts are contrary to your will and contrary to your word, God? How is it that you can love somebody like me, God? How is it, God, when I hold grudges against people that you love, God? How is it that you can still love somebody like me? I don't understand that type of love. Because the love that I've been acquainted and experienced most of the time is if I hate somebody, you end up hating them too. See, if we in good relationship, if I got an issue with them, then guess what? Their issue with me becomes your issue. But what I like about God is if I have an issue with somebody, God doesn't allow my issue to become his issue. He said, I still love them, even though you got a problem with them. I love both of y'all. See, this is a love that I can't understand. while you out here cursing God, being as foul as we can be, not even understanding. I'm talking about just doing whatever you can do for the devil. Did you realize you were his enemy? If your mind was not a spiritual mind, if you were operating in a carnal mindset, the Bible declares that a carnal mind, it is an enmity, meaning it is an enemy of God. But the Bible declares, while we were yet his enemies. See, I can't understand that kind of love. Because the truth be told, I don't love my enemy to do not a thing. The only thing I would do to my enemy is take them out. That's it. Try to save them. If I had an enemy and this was a clip and they was hanging on by their one hand, out of here. I'm only telling the truth that some of y'all feel the same way. But do you understand? You understand how some of us were barely hanging on to life and barely hanging on in life? And God was standing right at this cliff looking at you. Because see, some of you thought, okay, well, I'm on the edge, God. I like playing on the edge, God. I like it being on the edge, God. I like being wild and crazy on the edge. So some of you, you slipped off the edge. But then some of you, you jumped over the edge. Luckily, you were hanging by your hand. And God was standing over the edge looking at you. But the Bible declares that his hand is not too short that he couldn't reach down. I'm talking about while you was an enemy, he pulled you on up. Come up here. Because I love you. I love you. I don't want to see you die. I don't want to see you kill yourself. I love you. Come on. I got plans for your life. Yeah. I'm going to do great things in you. And I'm going to do great things for you. I'm going to use you in a mighty way. Yes. I'm going to use you to be a blessing to nations. I'm going to use you to be a blessing to this nation. I'm going to help you raise up other men and women of God how to advance the kingdom of God. That's why I'm going to reach down and save you. I choose you. Y'all don't understand that kind of love. That he chose his enemy. He chose his enemy. I don't understand that kind of love. But if you can get into the secret place, like we said, it's not just a secret place, but it's here you learn secret things about God, the nature and the character, the ways of God. The deep understand, experience, or encounter the depths of who God is, the deep places of Christ. And like we said, love is just one of those things. Think about the deep aspects of the truth. How is it the truth that I know makes me free? How is it that truth has the ability to make me free? See, that's the depthness of God. That truth can set you free. You know how long some of us been trying to get free? Bad relationships, you trying to get free, can't shake them. Is that the truth? Things that you've been trying to get over from your childhood, tell the truth, it happened. Tell the truth, you were angry that it happened. Tell the truth. You've struggled for years with forgiveness. Just tell the truth. But what I understand, there were some of us who were afraid of going deeper in God. Because if I go deeper in God, what would that require of me? Because in reality, it requires something from you to even enter into the secret place. Because you just can't come any type of way into the secret place. See, it's a secret for a reason. Because if you knew where it was, you'll be trying to go there every time you had an issue. I got to go talk to God. And not that you can't talk to God, but you just can't enter the secret place when you want to. My husband getting on my nerves. I'm about to go in the secret place. Really? Secret place. You what? First of all, how you gonna go there when your mind is not even right, your heart is not even right? You mad, trying to go tell on your husband in an angry spirit, trying to go tell on your husband. You are deceiving yourself thinking you about to get to that place called there. It's gonna remain a secret. That's why, you know, think about it. That's why some of us, okay, but God, I prayed. I didn't find you in my prayer. Well, let me give you a prayer, because the secret place keep moving itself from you. You're not right. No, just when you think you got close, guess what? The secret place is, because you like, I can, you know. When you don't be right and you say you're going to pray and you start sensing God a little bit, talk about you start going in your tongues, you start seeking God a little bit, and then you start to try to pray, hallelujah! You know how we do. But then all of a sudden it's like, what the? Lord, I just felt your prayer, because the secret place, it had to be revealed. I mean, it had to be covered up from you. See, some of us, we would take advantage of the secret place. Not in the manner that you're taking advantage of the secret place to be changed. Yeah, why do you want other people changed more than you? See, the reality, if you got a mindset that other people need to change more than you, it's showing you you really don't understand how much pride you're dealing with. No, it's you. They don't say that in church no more. It's me, Jesus. They don't say, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Jesus, I stretch my hands to thee. We don't say that anymore. Help my husband, Lord. That's the new thing. Now, help my husband, Lord. Help my children, Lord. Help my wife, Lord. Help the pastor, Lord. I need all the help I can get. Sure. I ain't opposed to it. I need all the help I can get. So it said, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The waters. Plural. Plural. Science has proven that your body is 70 to 80% made of what?
Water.
Water is symbolic for spirit. Holy Ghost come and move upon these spirits, these waters right here. But what I found out, if he starts moving on you, stuff has got to change. And the reality, most of us don't want to give up some things. If you start moving on me, God, I'm going to have to change what I'm looking at. If you start moving on me, God, I'm going to have to change what I'm thinking about, God. If you start moving on me, God, I'm going to have to change how I feel about some things, God. My mindset is going to have to change, God. So I don't want the Spirit of God to hover over me. I don't want the Spirit of God to move upon me, because to move on me means I must change. Oh, he's trying to stir the water on the inside. Thank you, Holy Ghost. There ought to be a pool of Bethesda on the inside of you. Oh, the healing can take place when you open your mouth. The words of healing are not just in your hand, but words of healing are in your mouth. Oh, you ought to let the God stir the healing waters on the inside of you. Rivers of living water should be flowing. Oh, but if we can let the reckless love of God break through the dam that the enemy has blocked, the flow of the living water on the inside, some of the rivers on the inside of us, they're blocked up by a dam. Folk been chomping at things like a beaver. No, folk been chomping at things in your ear. Why God ain't did this? Why you ain't got this blessing? And while they chomping, things just falling down and it's stopping the flow of the river of living water on the inside. Y'all ain't gonna help me right there. The river has been stopped on the inside of you. As long as the water is moving, no stagnation can be produced. As long as the water is moving, no contamination can actually abide in the water. It's when the water is moving, guess what? It's drinkable. When the water is moving, it is clean. But anytime you got a still body of water, with the exception of the ocean, you are willing to risk being contaminated.
Oh, I ain't gonna get no help right there. And some of the rivers of living water, the flow has stopped by the enemy, causing you to be contaminated. That's why you ain't growing no more. That's why your prayers is stale. That's why your praise is low. It ain't even getting high no more, because the Bible said you're supposed to have a high praise in your mouth. What happened to your high praise? Is it because the river has been contaminated? Oh, but you ought to invite God to come and move. God, come and move in my life, God. Come and hover over this water, God. Stir it up, God. Like the pool of Bethesda, God, stir it up, God. If you got to send an angel, God, but stir it up, God. That change can take place, God. Now when people encounter me, God, encounter the words out of my mouth, God, that change will take place in their life, God. It used to be a time that you can speak and pray in your own life and change would manifest itself. It used to be a time that you would pray for other folk and change would manifest itself. It used to be a time that you would pray for people in your life, family members, and change would manifest itself. Now you questioning God. God, do you hear my prayer? God, why you forgot about me? Why? Because the river has been plugged up. Oh, somebody ought to begin to pray, God. Unplug it, God. Unplug it, God. Somebody ought to begin to pray, God. Unstop it, God. Unstop it, God. Somebody ought to begin to pray, God. Unblock it, God. Unblock it, God. Remove the contamination, God. Remove the flip, God. Remove the stagnation, God. But let a clean flow, let a powerful surge of water flow, God. That it will break open the dam, God. It ought to be a flow like the Niagara Falls. Refreshing waters. When was the last time you opened your mouth and you were refreshed by the things that came out of your mouth? I don't care what I'm dealing with right now. I don't care how the enemy's trying me. Oh, but I got the living word of God about it on the inside of me. I can speak life. It's a depth in life and the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. When was the last time that you were able to bring refreshing back to your own life? Come on, where's that power? Where is that power that you once demonstrated? I'm talking about when you walked the floor and prayed, things would turn around. Remember we said not, it was a twisting. You ought to cause some things to twist or turn in the realm of the spirit. What the enemy was trying to do, it used to be a time that you would pray and it would block what the enemy was trying to do. Why is it now the enemy has so much free access to you? You're not abiding in the secret place. You're no longer under the shadow of the Almighty. The waters have become contaminated. You know what I found now? Remember, we did an illustration. We put a clear cup down so you could see the water. And we contaminated it with red food coloring. But we took a large pitcher and just kept pouring. And the more we kept pouring, that was contaminated started rising to the top. Eventually that was contaminated was no longer contaminated. What am I saying? That if you open up and let God pour on the inside of you, say, God, refill me all over again. God, baptize me all over again. Fill me with your presence all over again. Pour your spirit into me all over again, God. Fill me up with your word, God. Feed me till I won't no more, God. Fill me up, God, to our overflow, God. Like David said, let my cup runneth over, God. All that what's in me, Father God, will fall on the other people, God. They are blessed, God, because they're connected to me, God. Fill me up, God, till I overflow, God. I know that as you pour, God, that contaminated me, God, it's gonna flow out, God. It's gonna pour out, God. It's gonna drain out, God. God. Come on, and the Spirit of God moved. Come on, Marcus, and the Spirit of God moved. Come on, pick it up prophetically, and the Spirit of God moved. Come on, you ought to be praying prophetically. God, let your spirit move, God. We need a move of God in our nation, God. We need a move of God in the White House, God. We need a move of God in the Senate, God. We need a move of God in the Congress, God. We need a move of God in our city, God. We need a move of God in our states, God. Move in the children, God. Move, God, in the ethnic groups, God. Move, God, in the judicial system, God. Move, God. Come on, if the church can get back in position in the secret place, if the church can get back under the wings of the Almighty, we will have revival. See, we can keep praying for revival, but unless His Spirit moves, it's just momentarily. Unless His Spirit moves, it's just momentary change. But if the Spirit of God gets on the inside of you and begin to move, see, I've seen hardened hearts change. I've seen hardened hearts become soft. They became hearts of flesh again. We've seen how the Bible declares that blinded eyes were open, and the ears that were plugged up, they became unstopped. And we've seen children that were wayward and lost. They might have lost God, but they came back to the ways and to the teachers and to the trainers of God. If God can move, if the Spirit of God would just move, oh, come on, you shouldn't stop Him. Let God move beyond your understanding. Let God move beyond your emotions and your feelings. Let God move beyond your soul. Let God move beyond your experiences in life. Let God move beyond your bad relationships and disappointments and rejections. Let God move. Come on, is there anybody ready for God to move? Come on, you ought to be giving God a sign that you're ready. Your hands raised as a sign of surrender, says God, this is my sign, God, that I'm ready for you to move, God. I surrender my mind to you, God. I surrender my heart to you, God. I surrender my will to you, God. I surrender my soul to you, God. I surrender my spirit to you, God. This body belongs to you, God. Move, God. Move, God. Move, God. By your spirit, God. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready, God. I'm ready for you to move, God. Things don't have to be in order. Things don't have to be right. Things don't have to be perfect. But just move, God. Everything that's out of order, God, if you move, God, you can push it back into order, God. Everything that was out of alignment, God, if you move, God, you can cause it to realign it, oh God, with your will and your divine purpose, oh God. Oh, I'm ready, God, I'm ready, God, I'm ready. I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready for you to move. Oh, come on, never the same, 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 God. Oh God, I yield my mind, God. I yield my heart, God. I willfully give it to you, God. Oh God, I'm looking for you to move, God. I'm looking for you to move, God. Sister Cherie, you keep going. Everything that has transpired in your life up until this point, you've even been disgusted about having to move down here. But what God has needs you to understand is even your culture, how you were brought up in New York, the fast pace of life, God said He had to bring you to a slower pace of life. Because I'm trying to perfect patience on the inside of you. Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm trying to perfect patience on the inside of you. Oh, when things begin to unfold in your life, you become worried and you become exhausted and you become fearful, and fear kicks faith out the door. But I'm trying to perfect patience, says the Lord. He said patience must have her perfect work on the inside. And this is why it appears that you seem so exhausted and so tired. Because the reality, boo, you've been fighting against patience. Patience must have her perfect work. Patience is trying to work. And you are contending with the spirit of patience.
Even the slower pace of life, God is going to use to even change your very perspective about things. And he's doing this because he's trying to recapture your attention, recapture your focus, because you have got to the point where you don't even pray like you used to. Oh, but what God wants you to know is that he's calling you back. He's calling you back. He's calling you back. He's calling you back to the place of prayer. Back to the place of prayer. Back to the place of prayer. Even with the child. Rabashe. Where you have become frustrated because you feel the inability to communicate. But God said when you get back into the place of prayer, he's going to give you creative ways to communicate, creative ways to understand. The enemy has designed it for frustration to make you make impulsive moves, for frustration to make you do impulsive things, for frustration to make you repeat and say impulsive things, all the while the child is soaking it up, soaking it up, soaking it up. But as you come back to the place of prayer, God said, approach it with a repentant mindset, approach it with a repentant heart. I'm telling you, he's trying to bring you in earnest on one accord. Because I know you feel like, God, we pray, but it don't seem like our prayers have been answered. There is no unity. We can't see eye to eye for a significant time frame and think that we are on one accord. No, we must be on one accord at all times. If you disagree, quickly get it back right. If there is a lack of understanding, quickly get it back right. I'm going to remind you, because God is... something God said about my own life, he's saying. Because you and your husband don't ask for much. But when you fix your mouth to ask, you ask for heavy things. Heavy, detailed things that you ask God for. But God said to remind you that things that you've asked in past time, I've proven that I'm God. Check my record. Check the testimonies of the Lord. The testimonies prove that I am who I said I am. The testimonies prove that I did what you requested. And simply put, Cherie, nothing is impossible with God. Do you hear me, Ernest? Nothing is impossible with God. Come on, you and Ernest ought to get together around the house and begin to pray. And watch the baby girl just fall right in line. We ain't even got to have a specific reason to pray. I just want to talk to you, God. Just want to talk to you because you're good, God. Just want to bless you because you're good, God. And watch the baby girl just fall right in line. Because I'm telling you, what has been difficult before, because I get it. She's a girl, you're a woman. There's certain things that Ernest can't teach you. God is going to give you creative ways to communicate. But come back to the place. Come back to the place of intercession. Come back to the place of intercession and approach it with a repentant heart. God, we just want you to move. See, many of you don't even understand God is hovering like he hovered over the virgin, like he hovered over the face of the deep. But it's not enough for God to just hover. God wants to descend upon. And it's not enough for God to just descend. God wants to indwell. But if there was a cry, God move, God move. Not just a cry from the voice, but a cry from the depths of your spirit, from the depths of your soul, from the depths of your heart. God move. The church will not be the same. The kingdom of God could be advanced. People trying to take God's glory would cease. All the games and gimmicks would cease. But it would truly be about magnifying him, truly be about glorifying God, truly be about lifting him up. He said, if I be lifted, if I be lifted, you hear what I say? If I be lifted right in the middle of what you're going through, if I be lifted up right in the middle of your tribulation, if I be lifted up right in the middle of the trial, if I be lifted up, I will draw. Come on, lift him up. Hands raised, lift him up. Hands outstretched, lift him up. Tears flowing from your eyes, lift him up. Praises in your mouth, lift him up. Worship in your heart, lift him up. Hey, we lift you up, God. In our houses, in our homes, we lift you up. On our jobs, God, we lift you up. In our relationships, we lift you up, God. So that you can move. Is anybody under the sound of my voice and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Is anybody under the sound of my voice, you are there in a backslidden state? I want you to understand that he says that he's married to the backslider. Come and reconcile your life back to him. Is anybody under the sound of my voice that you want prayer, you just want to be encouraged and want somebody to stand in agreement with you about some things? You can come to the altar. And we can pray with you and pray for you. If you come and come now, because y'all know me, the infamous five is going to go up. So that he can move. Because it shouldn't take you that long. You know whether or not you saved or not. You know whether or not you are a backslider. You know whether or not you need God to move in your life, that you want God and somebody to touch and agree. It don't take that long. The most powerful thing that God has given you is the ability to make a choice. Just make a choice. God, I'm coming to the altar and I'm going to present myself as a living sacrifice. I want you to move so much in me, down in me, God, that I would tie myself back to the horns of the altar. That when I want to get away, when I want to escape, God, I can't. When I don't want to be kept, God, I'm kept because I've been tied to the horns of the altar. lift you up. With our decisions, God, and choices, we will lift you up. Always playing. Why you always playing? Taking your time coming to the altar. Why you always playing? I'm just happy you came to the altar. Pray for those that are at this altar. Ask God to come into their hearts. Ask God to change them like never before. Ask God to reveal himself like never before. Ask God to manifest his presence like never before. Ask God to bombard their mind. Ask God to kick open the doors of their heart. Ask God to reach down in the depths of their soul. Ask God to reconnect with their spirit, with his spirit. Ask God to establish a connection, a relationship, a covenant agreement with them. Ask God to change them from the inside out. Ask God to heal them. To deliver them. To set them free. To make them whole. To bring form to them. Give them understanding about their night season. Train them in their night season. Equip them, establish them in their night season, that they're prepared for the morning, prepared for the day. That they can handle the day. Ask God to give them the correct mindset, the correct understanding of darkness. There is no more mishandling or misinterpreting the darkness as confusion or as evil, but the place that God chooses to abide in, the secret place. Ask God to let them experience the secret place, that place called there, to encounter him. That's it right there. That's it right there. Sir, but your envelope, come on and stand to your feet. And please follow the leading of the ushers. We're going to partake of our communion. If you're going to partake of the communion, if you will please. Partake of communion, we ask if you can hold it as we partake of it collectively as a body. Come on, stand to your feet, please. Wait on you. Come on, follow the leading of the usher, please.
your soul is truly waiting on God, it's a good place. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Hey! The wait, the meantime, it's a good place, it's a good place, it's a good place. Waiting is a good place. Come on, you take a moment and talk to God, because he told us as often as you do this, to do this in remembrance of who he is. Tell him what you remember about him. I'm talking about when you've experienced and when you've encountered him, how he's delivered, how he saved you, how he made a way for you, how he became the master breakthrough for you, how he opened doors for you, how he demonstrated his grace and how he demonstrated his mercy, how he proved he loved you. Just let him know that what you remember about him. We are partaking of this because even as the word says, it allows us to commune. It allows us to have fellowship. It gives us an invitation to the table. Do you understand what's on God's table? The body of his son that was broken for you, the blood that was shed for you. Come and partake. He said, this is my body. Come on and eat. This is the blood that was shed that washes us and cleanses us from all of our sin and all of our iniquities, transgressions, and trespass. Come on and drink. Supposed to be. If it didn't happen at a church, I would be, I don't know what to think about it.